All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, don't call it a comeback. We've been here for years. The Suspects are back, present, accounted for, and ready to roll on a Tuesday in the big city. Nick's here. Barry's here. I'm here. We had a day off yesterday. We didn't ask for it. We didn't want it. But we took it. And now we're ready with even more ammunition than the day before. Fellas, what is going on?
What's up, man?
What'd it do? What's going down?
Man, so much to get to.
Just trying to get my headphones to work.
That would be any day that ends with a Y, Barry.
Thank God I can't hear Nick. That's good.
Nothing's
that's
functional today.
See, he's talking, and I don't care.
Any day that ends with a Y, Barry has headphone problems. So consider today qualification one.
This is what happens when you have a four-day weekend and you don't do radio. You don't realize that your headphones are dead for 4 days.
Attaboy.
So we'll just
carry spare batteries. That would
hang out there. What? You can't replace the battery on that. That's not how those work.
I have Beats that have the...
You charge it. That's the only way to do it.
Oh, well, then that's on you completely.
How was your weekend?
Well, I would say it was better than average. I would say it was borderline fantastic. I was so busy, fellas, and because we weren't doing shows, I didn't do the research. Did the Packers win? I had no... Did they win? Did they play? I mean, that's Stephen A. right there, too, because he was a Packer fan. I mean, I don't know. I just finally realized Sunday night it was the greatest weekend on the planet.
Yeah.
Because last time I checked, much like real estate, we got the garage door openers, we got the keys, and we got the documents. We're going to let the Cowboys play in Lambeau Field South,
but we own
the damn building. So you just take that.
I know. There's a lot of wheeze going on in
your conversation. Oh, and every bit of them is enjoyable to say. I'm just letting you.
I'm not going to allow it. I don't like it,
fellas,
but I'm going to live with it, I guess.
Let me explain something to you. In the NFC North, which is probably a way better division than the AFC South, you grow up hating the Bears and the Vikings, but honestly, there's only one team you hate more, and you beat them on Sunday. Is that true? Oh, my God, yes. It's become, and you know why? It's because, and the Bear fans are borderline bad. But there's a lot of Cowboy fans that have made that a thing.
I think everybody hates the Cowboys. If you're not a Cowboy fan, I think it's possible. Steelers fans hate Cowboy. I know Oilers and Texans fans, for the most part, hate the Cowboys. There's a lot of fan bases that do not like the Dallas Cowboys, America's team.
Rivalry-based, okay? I think because of the fact that all the way back to the Ice Bowl, Packers-Cowboys, when they play, it's a big game. It's a rivalry-type thing. But I can see the Steelers same way, because in the 80s, it was Steelers-Cowboys.
Sure. Yeah.
So I get that. So, you know, I think that Texans fans obviously have created the rivalry with the Cowboys too, but that's more because of state bragging rights. But when you get down to it, if the Cowboys are hated by a lot of teams because they've beaten a lot of teams and they've had some really heated rivalries with a lot of teams.
Man, there's so many fan bases outside of Dallas that just love the Cowboys. That part annoys me, but I don't hate the Cowboys. I'm just not a fan.
I mean, Chiefs probably hate them. The Niners probably hate them because of the
Niners the again 90s. With the Cowboys for sure.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, there's a lot of fan bases that probably are not either they're not apathetic to the Cowboys or rooting for them. They hate them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens with great power comes great responsibility, right?
Oh, they should make a commercial like that. That sounds like a tagline to me.
That's right.
So that was the crux of...
Well, that made your weekend.
Yeah, it really did.
Astros do it for you at all?
I think until yesterday. I mean, yesterday, and I'm sitting there going, I still have to watch this game because I had so much going on. When I knew I was going to be off, I had
the carpet cleaners and they were fixing our fridge. Another place was, and I'm doing all these nesting things for Lisa, moving this and building that. And I'm like, but I got to have the game on.
Yeah.
And when Altuve hit the home run in the first inning, I'm like, okay, so they're going to have that upper hand on Charlie Morton again, like they did in the regular season. And then all of a sudden it was like,
the wheels came off.
That's what I thought.
It's crazy because when you looked at pitch counts after the first and second inning, it was like, oh, this is not, yeah. this is definitely advantage Astros, because I think Greinke threw 9 pitches compared to Morton's 21 or so.
He was like 25 or more in the first inning.
And it was like, oh, this game over. I mean, if he does that one more time, that's going
to
be the it.
It's close
it for
to
him.
50 pitches.
After two innings. Yeah. 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 And but boy, that didn't work out at all.
Nope, it didn't. And the thing is that the bats just weren't there, and Morton only threw 5 innings because he threw 93 pitches.
Right.
So I think if there's one silver lining for the Astros, it's I don't think you'll see him unless you see him on short rest in a game 5 situation. And even still, I don't know what he's going to have based on the fact that he basically threw a full game's worth of pitches
game
in 5
innings.
Game
5 would be on the 10th?
Yeah.
Thursday? There's no way you see him on 2 days.
That's what I'm
rest.
Thinking. I'm thinking he's out of the equation, which is advantage Astros.
Yeah.
But when you look at the overall situation, the ironic thing was in 2017 when they won the World Series, they got blown out in Game 3 by the exact same score by the Red Sox. 10-3.
Really? Yeah.
So,
wasn't that also the ALDS when everybody was asking that George Springer be moved down in the lineup mm-hmm. because he was playing so bad? Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for those dumbass tweets again.
They're coming because somebody tweeted last night about the fact that the Astros outfield, Springer's 0-13, and there's the two other outfielders aren't doing much better.
Brantley and
Reddick. And even Kyle Tucker when he played. So believe me, the Astros Twitter was losing their mind over losing one game, which is not unheard of.
Yeah, well, when you face a guy,
slow down.
Yeah, you faced a guy that was in the running for the Cy Young for most of the year.
Yep.
That's going to happen.
And
you're
that,
on the road. They weren't a great road team. Let's be real.
Right. And a guy that knows your lineup because he was your team for multiple years.
And a guy that just has filthy, filthy stuff.
No doubt. No, absolutely no doubt.
I mean, I don't know who thought that Charlie Morton was going to be a cakewalk, but if you did, you're dumb.
I totally agree. And a lot of questions were answered, though, because you saw Wade Miley warming up in the bullpen and you got his usage out of the way, so you knew he wasn't going to be a factor in game 4 as a starter. But then I was thinking, well, is he really going to go to Urquidy?
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, and I said the only other option I could think of would be Justin on short rest, and he wouldn't want to do that, would he? And then all of a sudden, right after the game, it was Justin Verlander's our game 4 starter.
So apparently, according to Granato, which I retweeted it, but he said that the plan was to go with Urquidy, but Verlander went in and said, nope, I'm going.
And that AJ, in response, was basically like, when a Hall of Fame pitcher that's a Cy Young candidate comes in and says, I want the ball, you give him the ball.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that. It's just, you know, and here's the ridiculous thing. And you know what? All kinds of props and love to Big Poppy because he's healthy. But I don't know if you saw this last night or not, but in the studio show with Big Poppy and A-Rod during the Yankees game, Big Poppy decided to say, if I'm AJ, I empty it all out tomorrow. I start Verlander, but I got Cole warming up in the bullpen ready to go if he fails. Are you kidding me? You want to lose every bit of advantage you got? You're going to go home and you would have burned both Cole and Verlander tonight if you need to?
That was stupid.
Absolutely ridiculous to think that.
Yeah, that would be very, very dumb. I did tweet out what the rotation would look like going into the ALCS. If they win today or if they go to game 5 and win. Because, I mean, there's no point in doing the ALCS rotation if you assume they lose. But it's I won't go through it all. Let's just say this. If they winning or losing makes a big difference in how this lineup gets, you know, against this rotation, I should say,
mm-hmm.
stacks up against the Yankees. Because, essentially, if they do go 5 games and Gerrit Cole has to pitch game 5 on the 10th, then you start the series with Zach Greinke on the mound, but everybody gets their full rest. So you have JV and Gerrit Cole in games 2 and 3 in the ALCS, but everybody would get their full rest, and that means that you would have them in games 6 and 7.
Right.
So you would have Gerrit Cole on the mound for game 7. And then if it goes if Verlander does get the win tonight, then you start the series with Gerrit Cole.
Right.
I think it just depends on your school of thought, because You can start with Cole and then Verlander on normal rest on October the 13th in the ALCS. The crazy part is game 7 would be Zach Greinke. Yeah, but now do you assume that it goes 7 and do you
Good point.
Do you want to have Verlander and Cole, like those are bullets that you don't, that you never get to shoot, right? If something happens and they don't pitch, then you basically went, if it goes five, then you basically go Greinke, Verlander, Cole, Urquidy, Greinke, Verlander, Cole. Because you got to run Urquidy out there. Either Urquidy or Miley is going to have to pitch game four. There's just no doubt about it.
I've run out of chances to give Wade Miley. Yeah. I just have.
But see, last night AJ was like, oh, no, I think that they would go, everybody, they would go back to a three-pitcher rotation. I don't think they do that because in game four, if you run whoever pitched game one out there, basically, that means the rest of your rotation has to go on 3 days rest for the rest of the series. Games four, five, and six, and seven, every pitcher going out there is going on short rest. That's huge advantage.
No, I'm going to give you an option.
You take one game to me. A one game risk with Urquidy is better than risking four games on guys going on 3 days rest.
The other option instead of Urquidy for me, Peacock as an opener to go as far as he can go because he's got playoff experience, because he's been pretty reliable.
Yeah.
And I feel more comfortable with a guy that would control his nerves because it's so important than throwing a guy like Urquidy out there. And then you go from there with some of your pen, assuming that those guys are going to be innings eaters too, in Cole, in Verlander. And I'll say this.
What has Urquidy done to not prove that he can't handle it?
It's the biggest stage, and you've seen some of these guys. Look at the playoffs even this year, the kid from Minnesota, there's been so many opportunities. When you look at some of these rookies that get on the mound for the first time in a playoff series, those nerves can cost you some runs. Against the Yankees, you can't afford to make those kind of mistakes and give up those kind of runs. I'm just a little leery of that.
I mean, especially if Greinke can steal game one. If you can if he can steal game one and then you've got Verlander and Cole on the mound for two and three, you're probably, even if you're 2-1, if you're up 2-1. Now, if you're down 1-2, yeah, I don't know if you run Urquidy out there. But if you're up 3-0 or 2-1, why not?
I got lots of reasons why, if you want to go why and why not. But my thing is, look, and this is weird, I never thought I'd say this, but you have become the more optimistic voice of reason. I have been the more, when we're talking about Astros pitching, I have been the one that has been the guy quick to say I'm done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shock some people here. I'm almost done with Zach Greinke.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to say this. For the rest of this season, I'm okay. But because of what we saw when we were at the games, because of what we witnessed with Gerrit Cole, and because of what I've said previously about you got to do everything you can to keep him, I'm okay with trading Zach Greinke in the offseason.
I don't know. Zach Greinke had a bad game. Don't be surprised if Justin Verlander has a bad game tonight.
Oh, you heard it there first, not me.
On short rest, he's got a 380-something ERA.
Don't crap on the Astros pitchers. That's my job.
I'm just telling you. Don't be surprised if Verlander maybe goes out and gives up four or five on the road, home runs. Don't
say that. All right, we'll talk about it. We got plenty to talk about. We've got that to talk about. We've got some kind of deal that came up with the Rockets. Oh, they played in Japan, and they lost today. So we can talk about that or the other things surrounding that.
Boy.
Lots to get to on the show. Texans with a big win against the Falcons.
Huge.
And for their reward for that is they get the Chiefs. So we've got lots to get to, a day to make up with. We didn't make a show yesterday, so we're going to do more magic today than you can ever dream of. If you want to join us, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. And before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. If you've been looking at your roof saying, God, it looks bad, I need new shingles, or maybe I just want to put a whole new roof on it, or maybe you've had a leaky roof that the storms have let you believe needs to be fixed sooner rather than later, there's only one place to call. It's Fitz Roofing. Quite simply, if you call Fitz Roofing, they're going to do a free, no obligation inspection today. So you call them 832-521-3001. 832-521-3001. Nothing out of your pocket. All you do is call them. They come to you, see what you got, tell them what you need to do, and then they're going to go away. If you need them to come back, you call them, and they're going to be the best in the business at dealing with you and taking care of everything while using the best products on the market. CertainTeed shingles, they're the best shingle in the country, and they use them. They use them so much that they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the U.S. meet the criteria to get that status. You want it, they got it, you go to Fitz. Their base warranty is longer than better than your average roofer, and their ratings say you shouldn't go anywhere else. A-plus on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star on both Facebook and Home Advisor. Get to Fitz Roofing. FITZRoofing.com or 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Just getting started. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio after a well-deserved day off, or a couple days off for us, Friday and Monday, as we were preempted by Astros baseball. But a lot of things took place while we were out, and one of them that just seems to get to be a bigger and bigger story with every passing hour, let alone day, is this Daryl Morey deal with the Rockets and his comments about Hong Kong and the NBA's reaction after. Daryl had some tweets after that trying to make good on a bad situation for him. We really haven't had a chance to chime in yet. Barry, I know you tweeted some things about this, but a lot of people firing questions our way, so we should probably open up the conversation and get into some of this.
Yeah, if you missed it, Daryl Morey sent out a tweet over the weekend that basically said, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. And
a lot of people said he typed that. He actually just he tweeted a GIF.
It was a picture.
Or a meme, yeah.
And then Tillman Fertitta immediately responded with, hey, Daryl Morey doesn't speak for the Houston Rockets. We're not a political organization. We're a basketball team. We're in Tokyo. That's our focus. And Daryl Morey deleted the tweet. So that was kind of the initial, that was the beginning of this whole ordeal. And then the CBA, the China Basketball Association, immediately cut ties. Suspended. Suspended all activities with the Rockets, and now they're trying to take it a step further, talking about not doing anything with the NBA.
So they canceled
the Mavs.
The Rockets G League team and the Mavs G League team were scheduled to play next week. They've canceled that. They canceled a NBA initiative at a school with a school dedication yesterday. Today, now, the Lakers are due to arrive because they're going to play the Brooklyn Nets. Right. They're saying that game is in limbo, and it's going to be interesting to see because LeBron James is going, and we know that everybody wants to hear from LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see if he has any comments.
Here's my personal opinion on it is Daryl was right, though. I mean, at what point do we stop letting a sport dictate, specific things like human rights and democracy and freedom? Around the globe, why can't he come out and say what he said? And I think the answer is, well, you don't mess with a billionaire's money, and that's the bottom line. Is you can say what you want, but there's going to be repercussions,
ramifications,
right? And and the ramifications are, look, man, if you start costing not just one billionaire in Tillman Fertitta, but if you start costing other owners and billionaires money, then that becomes an issue, whether you think he was right or he was wrong. And I happen to think he was right, and I think what he said was right. And at some point, as people, we have to put sports aside and look at the human rights factor and all this. But guys don't like losing out on money.
We saw this with the kneeling in the NFL, and we saw how the owners reacted. And this is what we're dealing with in this case, in this scenario. And having worked in the front office of an NBA team, I can tell you, everybody had a lot of opinions about a lot of different topics. But the thing was, before, and a lot of people were trying to, be a bug in our ear and give us advice. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, in this political climate right now, today's day and age, where it's such a hot button, that if you go out and you decide to press send on a tweet, or you decide to say something in front of a camera or a microphone, you need to be willing to say, whatever I say, I'm going to stand by it, so much so that regardless, I could lose my job.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, before you hit send or you decide to speak to anybody, you think about, what am I going to benefit from this? Am I going to benefit financially? Am I going to benefit in some way from this? Because if you're not, you're entitled to your opinion. But where you cross a slippery slope is when you say, I'm going to put it out there for everybody else to be critical of it. And I'm not thinking about, Daryl's a smart man, but I don't think he thought this through about, this isn't just about one man's opinion. This is because he tweets a lot. He represents the Rockets. The Rockets are in the NBA. And there's a lot of people that have a lot of opinions about this.
Yeah, and I think people on social media that have sources like Jerome Solomons and John Granados, both friends of the show, they've come out and they have their own information, and Lance Erline as well. And I think a lot of people feel like Daryl Morey's job isn't necessarily in jeopardy, but I would say, okay, great, but right now. I think if the more heat that gets put on from other owners and the financial ramifications of this, It'd be like if you and I got on this show and said something so outlandish that every sponsor pulled all their money away from this station.
Yeah.
We're probably not going to have a show for very long.
Right, exactly.
Whether right or wrong.
So here's the thing. That's just how money works. You see Adam Silver tightroping that slippery slope.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said Daryl has the right to say whatever he wants to say, but he also started to moonwalk a little bit because he realizes it's a $1 billion business for the NBA to be internationally in China. No. And to see these things, to hear on the flip side, a Yao Ming say he's very upset. Okay? He may personally be friends with Daryl. He knows what the Rockets have meant to him. He's the president of the Chinese Basketball Association. He's in China as a folk hero that has relationships with the government. He knows, regardless of what he personally feels maybe deep inside of him, he's not going to voice that because he's going to pay a price.
I was going to say, do you think that that's Yao speaking from the heart, or is that Yao being smart, unlike Daryl Morey, and saying what people want to hear and not what he believes?
Absolutely, Yao minding his P's and Q's politically and
but that's
publicly.
Part of the problem, though, right? That's exactly what Daryl Morey is speaking out for. And speaking up for is the fact that guys like Yao Ming don't have the freedom to come out and speak against their government without significant ramifications. And now we're at this point where Daryl Morey exercises his freedom of speech that we all have in this country. And now everyone's like, oh, let's not upset China. Let's not upset another country who doesn't believe in the same philosophy that we do. It's a very weird dynamic, but that's the whole point of speaking out against it.
It is. It really is. And here's the thing. Just like when we saw this with other sports and other topics, do you see a lot of players right now coming out and either siding with Daryl or making a stance on this and voicing their opinion? No.
No.
Because of the fact that they also realize that as much as they might have their own personal beliefs on this topic, they also realize they have a lot of ties to shoe deals, appearances, all the different things. Most players, if you're anywhere above average in the NBA, you make a trip to Asia in the offseason, whether it be for a shoe company, apparel company, or some kind of endorsement where you're putting money in your pocket. And the reason why they're not saying anything publicly on this is they don't want to take money out of their own pocket.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the day, I think there's a line between what you believe in and what others expect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to be willing. I mean, is Daryl willing to put his career on the line for his tweet? He deleted the tweet. He's then not retracted the statement, but said, you know, I've spoken with my friends inside of China and I didn't realize the ramifications of this and how it affected them. It's going to be interesting to see long term how this plays out. I will say this. I don't think Tillman Fertitta is going to do anything right now, but Daryl Morey better hope the Rockets have a really good season, because that the last thing he needs is an excuse to get fired.
I'll say this, having been in that, and I know, you know, obviously you said John and
Jerome
and other people. I know a lot of people too.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there was ever a case where he was going to lose his job.
Yeah.
But I think that there is no doubt he got a stern phone. He got a call with a stern talking to from Tillman Fertitta. And I think that he thought at that point it was over. But then thinking it through even more, because of the fact that timing just so has it, the NBA's in China broadcasting on ESPN all week. The Rockets are in Japan, obviously, for the Japan games. When you think about all these different elements, it's become a bigger deal. The league's now involved. Now Adam Silver has to make a statement on it. Now everybody's got their red flags up, they're all seriously worried about the ramifications. Because, again, it's a league that was created here that has taken off there. But the last thing they want to do is affect the fact
that a lot of money over there.
When I was with the Rockets and we were having our games, especially when Yao was playing for the Rockets, but it was not even an oversight to say 87 to 90 million people were going to watch a Rockets game when our games were being covered by CCTV over there.
Yeah.
So the fact that you don't think this is a big deal and a big bottom line business deal for both Tillman, who because of his other interests with all the different things with the hotels and the restaurants and everything else, and the NBA and all their interest in China, this is where they're regardless of what their personal opinions are, that you know where they're thinking.
So my question to you is, at the end of all of this, does Daryl Morey keep his job?
I think he does because of the
even after all the pressure coming in from China to the NBA and all the other owners and everything else, is Morey going to keep his job?
I think he will. I think that he's on very thin ice now. I think that it'll be. Definitely, he'll be put on notice, and this has nothing to do with how the team performs. I just think that this is, you know, he could be the sacrificial lamb and the scapegoat if necessary, if this gets to be too big.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a travesty that one man's opinions on something other than sports cost him his job in the heart of being a, considered one of the best at what he does
in his sport. Tillman Fertitta came out and said, I have the best GM in the league. I'm not firing him. Well, we'll see. We'll see how much that means versus how much money it costs the NBA. Because somebody just tweeted us, and it was Jason Hebert. Darren Rovell has a tweet out where they're actually removing Rockets logos from a gym in Shanghai as we speak. So,
here's the other thing. Regardless of what this does serious. And how this affects the NBA as a
Rockets
whole,
are done.
The Rockets and the statements have come out. Most of the companies that have agreements in place from a marketing and sales perspective with the Rockets have already pulled out. Done. When you watch a game on Rockets TV on AT&T Sportsnet and you see from the signage on the scores table and the poll pads and all the different endorsement deals that they have with companies in China, this has already cost the Rockets millions, and no owner is in favor of that.
Who's on the jersey? It's Rocket, right? R-I-T?
Yeah, the phone company. Mm-hmm.
Is that a – that's not a – where are they based out of? Do we know?
I'm not sure, but I would.
Well, that'll be interesting to find out as well, because that's who, you know, they get extra money by putting the logo on the jersey.
I believe, Nick, did we look at, is Rocket an Asian-based company?
Yeah, it is. It is an Asian-based company. It sells cell phones, among other things. Yep. I think it does alcohol as well. But
yeah, Rocket phones, but I don't see where. Well, we'll find that out, because that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's an Asian-based company. We talked about it before.
Yeah, is it China-based, though, or is it, you know?
Yes, it is.
It is China-based. Oh,
so here's the thing, too. Well, I mean, regardless of what Daryl may or may not have cost the league, and regardless of what his contract is for how many years, he's cost the team millions.
Oh, yeah.
Short term. And that's never a good thing. And dare I say, if this was any other employee in that company, they might not be so lucky as to save their job.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
All right, so we see you got calls. You want to get in on this. We'd love to hear what you have to say. So we're going to continue to roll on this topic. And along the way, if you also want to be a part of the show but just don't want to call in, you can text 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick.
And real quick, before we go to the break, I got to tell you about Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. Daryl Morey might have made a regrettable tweet today, but one thing you will not regret is going to Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, 2502 Gold Freeway, 2502 Gold Freeway in League City, right there on 45 by the Best Buy. Some of the most beautiful women serving you fresh food from a made-from-scratch kitchen only at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, 2502 Gold Freeway, 2502 Gold Freeway in League City. Beautiful waitresses serving you some cold beer, not to mention a full bar. And oh, by the way, it's a Tito's Tuesday. And only on Tuesday can you get any Tito's drink for $5. Only for $5, Tito's Tuesdays. Tomorrow is Chicken Alfredo Wednesday. And they only do that on Wednesdays. But today, go grab some drinks, watch the Astros game, get you a nice Tito's drink, only at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, 2502 Gold Freeway, 2502 Gold Freeway in League City. Right there on 45 by the Best Buy. And when I say food, I'm not just talking typical bar food. A made-from-scratch kitchen. We've ordered the quesadillas. We've ordered the chicken Alfredo. We've ordered the Hail Mary wings. There's a bunch to choose from at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill on 2502 Gold Freeway, and you should be there. And also, do not forget Lingerie Friday. Every Friday, everybody's dressed in lingerie. At least all the servers are. Some of the most beautiful women serving you food. Lingerie Friday, Thirsty Thursdays, Tito Tuesdays, and a Chicken Alfredo Wednesday. Only at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, right there in League City, 2502 Gold Freeway. Go check it out.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back and continue to roll on The Usual Suspects. Hour number one, 3-hour show. Special thanks to Channel 13, Miss Mia Shea and company, for stopping by. As we know, this is a hot button and a topic with Rockets fans. And so they're going to do a little something for the news on Channel 13. So we appreciate them stopping in. We were talking to them during the break. Look, this is a situation that is not going to go away quickly. The Rockets lost today to the Toronto Raptors. Who cares? It's preseason.
Uh-oh.
The bigger thing
it's over with. Daryl's getting fired. He lost a preseason game.
As I mentioned, between the fact that ESPN is broadcasting live with all the NBA shows from China this week. The Japan games have Adam Silver, Daryl Morey, and the entire team, as well as the Toronto Raptors in Japan. This isn't going away, and they're going to be, it's going to be a TMZ. They're going to stalk out the hotel,
oh, yeah,
waiting for Daryl to dare set foot out of it. And this is going to be a story that continues to get bigger before it goes away.
G the Never Dude on Twitter tweeted us a picture of the city jerseys with the Chinese letters. Well, good news there. The city jerseys no longer have to have Chinese writing on them.
And for all of you that didn't like them.
Me included.
Yeah.
That's the positive in all this. Thank you, Daryl. Thanks for cleaning up the city jerseys. Now we can have something that maybe we'll just have the front of it. It'll just say, man, hold up, or something like that. That would be better.
Yeah,
I know it's so hurtful for 3 or 4 games out of an 82-game season to see Chinese letters on a jersey.
Yeah, man.
That's painful.
Like it. I don't like it. Well, it's supposed to represent the city.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's painful. Just, you know, it hurts my eyes when I see Chinese letters on a jersey.
For the city version?
Who cares?
Me.
It's 4 games.
It's supposed to represent the city. It's supposed to represent the
4
city.
4 games.
That was the point.
5 games at the most.
You're going to have a jersey that represents the city
itself,
and you put Chinese
letters. Look for something better. Look for something better to complain about.
Can I finish talking?
Look for something better to complain about.
All right, bro, whatever.
It's going to be,
unbelievable.
Like I said, based on the
you
fact.
You cut me off all the time. Quit being a baby.
God.
So we see all of the financial ramifications early on. And we're just talking about sponsors that have either, and look, they may not have completely pulled out for the length of the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
For the short term, and again, because they have to, because they don't live in a democracy like the United States. And they realize if they continue to sponsor team while this is going on, they're going to face some stiff, discipline. So we'll see if that happens long term. But you mentioned the jerseys. You mentioned other things. And this goes from Jeremy Lin and his time with the Rockets, Yao Ming previous to that, mm-hmm. and the fact that the Rockets have been at the forefront of the popularity of the NBA brand as it relates to Asia and China and Japan. And now all of a sudden, that's all off. Yep. And not only is it off for the Rockets, but because of the Rockets and Daryl, it may be off for all teams. And the fact that you just think about this for a second. They canceled the 2 G League games. The Nets are already there. The mm-hmm. Lakers are supposed to arrive tonight. The Lakers are supposed to have a school dedication tomorrow. Then they're supposed to play at least 1, if not 2 games. LeBron, the LA following. The Chinese government is thinking about canceling all of it after they already make the teams go there.
God, that's got to be awkward for everybody involved over there.
No question about it. It's going to get, like I said, it's going to get bigger and uglier before it goes away. And unfortunately, the general manager of your team is the reason why it's all going down.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be an interesting situation and a very slippery slope. I'm with you and John and Lance and Jerome and everybody else. I don't think he's going to lose his job. But I think
I don't know. I mean, I would trust your insight. I mean, these guys have sources,
but I
don't know who they are.
That I think initially Tillman, because of his tweet, thought, "No, I nipped it in the bud. I got it." Now, because it's gotten much bigger than the Rockets and internal front office discussions, it's a whole different ballgame in terms of what we're weighing here. I still don't think he'll lose his job, but I think that a guy that loves the microphone and the media and being on social media as much as he does, I hope he's learned a very, very valuable lesson and what he really could have cost himself by doing something like this.
Well, we'll find out.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we could do the same thing and we could look at on social media. Does Bill O'Brien have a social media account? No. He's the general manager of the Texans, right?
He'd be better off not having a social media account.
Did Brian Gain have a... No,
Jeff Luno,
he's got one, but you know what? He's either going to do pro Astros pom-poms or analytics about his team, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a learning, this is a stepping stone and a building block and a lesson to learn for Daryl Morey. I hope he learns it.
Mm.
That's going to be a big deal. You know what is a big deal, too? Boy, I'll tell you what. Thankfully, we got a cool front today, but the bottom line is your energy bills have got to be going through the roof. If they are and you want to do something about it, do what I did. I switched to Infuse Energy about 3 years ago, and you should, too, because quite frankly, they saved me thousands over my previous energy provider, and they did it painlessly and effortlessly while giving me great customer service. Call them, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You can also go to InfuseEnergy.com, but if you call them, you're going to get a human being, not an automated system. They're going to ask you a bunch of questions so they get to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for business or your home? And they're going to pinpoint the best rate and the best deal they can possibly give you. More often than not, it's going to be the best deal you can find. If there's a rare occasion when another company can beat their prices, they're going to let you know that too, because they're going to be 100% honest, like a trusted friend, and it's such a valuable commodity to have when you're dealing in business. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, $25 bill credit right off the top, and we'll go from there because of the fact that they are just simply focused on you. 5 out of 5-star rating from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. You can't get any better. That's why you go to Infuse. Josh Pesikoff and his staff doing a fantastic job. Simply put, a affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride as we have more than enough energy and ammunition after a 4-day weekend as we have bounced back strong. Talking about a lot of things. We recapped the Maury situation with the Rockets. We talked a little bit at the top about just the weekend and other things. But look, let's not get away from the fact the Houston Texans had a big win on Sunday for a lot of reasons.
They looked good, man. Here's the problem that I see with the Texans so far this year. As good as they looked, I don't know who this team is. From week to week, they either look great, unbeatable, like they could beat anybody in this league, and then they look like they're going to struggle to be 500. So hopefully this is the Texans team that we see going forward. But as much as we killed Deshaun Watson for his game against the Carolina Panthers, you have to give him all the credit in the world for how he played against the Falcons, because he looked amazing.
And I said, and we did a sports map video leading into the weekend, that this could be a telltale Bill O'Brien moment where if they lost and they lost to what has basically looked like a bad team in Atlanta,
real bad,
that it could be the beginning of the end for Bill O'Brien. Instead, you get a win. So for 1 week, and it's always a what have you done for me lately league, now everybody is singing the praises of Deshaun Watson first, deservedly so, then Bill O'Brien and every part of this team.
That offensive line.
The line didn't give up a sack.
I thought they looked great.
All these different things are positives, right? But you hit on it. It's a Jekyll and Hyde team. It's a roller coaster, because on the road, this team has been better than it's been at home until this last game. So maybe they're getting some things worked out. And we said there's enough talent with the trades they've made in the short term that this team should be good and get better. And that was the first glimpse of the fact that they may be getting better. Oh, just don't gloat on this win too often, though, and too much, because look in the windshield instead of the rearview mirror, and you see an angry Patrick Mahomes Kansas City Chiefs team that's waiting for you this weekend for a monster game for this franchise.
And then the Colts right after that. It doesn't get any easier. The Colts have been looking really good and impressive as well.
And so, if you're looking for motivation, look no further than you say that the fact that the line didn't give up a sack, which is great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes got sacked 4 times by a less than stellar offensive line for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Merciless and Watt have been responsible for 9 sacks already. They're going to go against a less than stellar Kansas City offensive line. You need them to take advantage of this, because let's think about the intangible factor here that's going to be talked about, like you just talked about Deshaun. You know who was drafted within 2 spots of Deshaun that's getting all the love, that's already gotten an MVP, that's everybody's saying is the best player in the league, maybe one of the best of all time?
Yeah.
He's playing him on Sunday. If Deshaun really wants to make a statement, and he's been good about doing that when the stage is the biggest and the lights are the brightest, go be Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and then you're really talking.
I really felt like his decision-making was a lot better in the game. I felt like he you know, we talked in the past about how Lance Erline has kind of been the one champion this whole, Deshaun Watson's holding the ball too long, stop blaming the offensive line for all of the sacks. It really makes you look at it differently. But I thought he was very decisive. I thought that, you know, he took what the defense gave him. And we talked about that last week, that you watch some of these quarterbacks who don't try to do too much, and he's gotten used to being this flashy playmaker. And he moved away from that. He was smarter with the football. He made better decisions. I don't think he felt like he had to do it all in one play. And it showed, and his decision-making was better. The line play was better. The running game was a lot better. That helps. And Will Fuller was just unbelievable.
Boy, Nick, you can't talk enough about Will Fuller, thanks to your fantasy football exploits.
Man, I was so mad about that, because I really was considering picking him up. But you saw the coverage. You saw how they were paying more attention to Hopkins and a lot of those coverages. So it left Will Fuller open to make some big plays Are they going to be able to do that against a better defense is the big question. Are they going to be able to do that against the Chiefs or better teams? I think that's huge. But the fact that they have shown success when Hopkins is doubled or tripled and you have another option, you got to be happy about that if you're a Houston Texan.
Barry, to your point on Watson, here's what I will say that I think makes him special. And that is the fact that he takes ownership in his bad plays as well as his good plays. And the fact that a week ago in the press conference, he said, it's on me. And he started to admit to what you were talking about. Maybe I'm holding it too long. Maybe I'm doing some things wrong. After the press conference, the social media videos come out. He's with his coaching staff, a couple members of his coaching staff, on the field, mm-hmm. working some things out. Not afraid to put it on full display that, hey, I got work to do and some improvements to make. And you know what he did? He made the improvements. And now he can own the basking in the glory side of things for owning the fact that he had some shortcomings a week earlier.
Yeah, I expect this to continue. That Chiefs defense, worst secondary in the NFL right now, giving up 350-something yards a game. Mm-hmm. Falcons were third worst, and you look what Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller yep. and this receiving core was able to do. So I suspect that they'll be able to carry that over to next week. I think the point is going to be, can these Texans beat the Chiefs in a shootout? Is this offense good enough, and is the defense, is it going to be able to hold up enough to be able to stop them? I guess Tashaun Gibson's going to be able to earn his keep. You know, we talked about in the past how Fred always talked about, hey, he's good at holding tight ends.
Oh boy, you got a great
one. You're not gonna get any better than Travis Kelce right now. So we're gonna find out what this Texans secondary is versus that KC secondary, which we know is poor.
And like you said too, I think the big thing from a Texans perspective is you got to capitalize on the fact that as good as that team is on offense, I think they're less than stellar on defense. And the intangible there is going to be you got the Honey Badger sitting back there, and he knows a lot of what this team's going to do and what they like to do from being here last year. So he's going to try and give them some intel. Believe it or not, Martinez Rankin now has value because he's still on the roster and he knew the playbook. So he's going to be giving them a lot. But you've got to take advantage of every opportunity that they give you having a weak defense, just like they're going to try and exploit everything that they can exploit offensively. I look for Tyreek Hill to come back this week. I look for it because of the fact that they got the red ass. They got beat on national TV. There's a lot of people that you were singing their praises to be a Super Bowl favorite, now wondering what they really are. And he had some limited practices last week. I would bet this is a situation where they got to get right now, and they're going to put their best team out there, and he's part of their best team.
It's going to be I'm excited for the game. I'm really interested to see what this Texans defense is going to be able to do, because up front, that front seven, boy, they are playing their ass off.
Yeah, they are.
DJ Reader is just a beast right now. And you heard on the broadcast, they said Watson says he might be the most underrated player on defense in the NFL, and it's looking to be the case. Got another sack. He's just been very disruptive.
For an internal lineman on the defensive side of the ball to get sacks and doing the things that he's doing athletically, for a guy that's just supposed to be big and clog up the lanes, he's doing a fantastic job. We wondered what this team would be without Merciless. We're finding out, thanks to Merciless, that they haven't slipped up a whole lot.
Yeah.
And for as bad as the secondary is, and don't kid yourself, they're awful. The fact that we've always said, you know what? The first thing to do to make a bad secondary look better, put pressure on the quarterback. Beat a bad offensive line. This is where they're going to have to earn their keep again. As good as they've been with the 9 sacks between Watt and Merciless, they have got to put pressure on Mahomes.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that they only give up 57 yards of rushing.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn stout.
And that's another feather in Reader's cap.
That Reader and that whole front seven, this linebacking core for the Texans is just ridiculous. They really are. And so if they could get a little bit of help in the secondary, or if somebody can actually, you know, if Lonnie Johnson can figure things out, that would be great. But as a rookie, probably not going to happen. But if somebody can step up in the secondary and start actually, you know, limiting some of these big plays that the Texans are susceptible to, this defense is going
to
be tough.
And I'll give you the other X factor to me, and that is the Texans' ability to run the ball. Because if you can run the ball in a game like this, especially if it's a shootout, you keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, you eat up time, and if you can eat up time and still get points out of the drives in which you're doing it, now you're really affecting the game positively in your favor. The offensive line, one, it's not giving up sacks, but the other thing is, if they can create some holes and Carlos Hyde can be effective, that goes a long way to them being able to control time of possession, keep Mahomes off the field, and have an advantage in the game.
He only averaged 3 yards a carry, but it felt like that he was able to kind of do what he wanted to do. He seemed dominant.
Your favorite guy started to show up positively. Duke Johnson had some positive impact on the offense.
Big runs. Yep. Big runs. Averaged over 6.5 yards a carry. So good to see Duke Johnson stepping up, and maybe he's starting to learn the playbook and be more comfortable out there, because he had looked lost up until, you know, last week.
And I don't know what it was, why they didn't play well in the first two home games, but they needed it for that factor as well, too, because the home crowd was starting to get a little bit edgy, and they were starting to turn on this team, because as good as they looked on TV, when they don't look good in person, and that's your fan base and that's your bread and butter, that's bad. And that's where Bill O'Brien could have paid the price. Instead, they got a win, and now the home fan base is like feeling good about this team. Even nationally, it's crazy how we say it's a what have you done for me lately league. Mm-hmm. But everybody went from crapping on them a week ago for a loss without Cam Newton to a team that was like, hey, Deshaun Watson needs to be, and the Texans need to be talked about in terms of Super Bowl contenders.
Well, see, that's just it. You don't know who this is.
And I just think that's too big of a leap.
Yeah.
Now you beat the Chiefs, now you can start talking about a team that could be potentially an impact team in the playoffs.
Right.
So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. That's just hour number one. Still got 2 hours to go as that flew by. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter with lots more to get to starting in hour number two. Before we go to the break, though, I do want to tell you about the Houstonian. I've been telling you about it. Whether you want to get away on a local getaway, you don't want to spend 3-4 hours driving or flying to get to a destination to get away from Houston and vacation, you don't have to. You stay right here in the Galleria area, and it's got all the amenities and luxury of being miles and miles away. Check out the Houstonian for 4 fantastic restaurants, an incredible spa in Trellis, and every amenity you want. They have 27 wooded acres where you can go hiking and jogging and play tennis on all their tennis courts. 175,000 square foot health club where you can do anything from workout to get pampered at the spa, as I mentioned. And the deluxe accommodations, the rooms, everything is clean. It's neat. It's fantastic. And it's made for you. And you never have to leave the city in case something comes up. Check it out, because I'm going to be telling you all about it, and you're going to be glad you did. If you go to Houstonian.com, you're going to see the video, and if you watch it, you'll realize exactly what I'm talking about. It's a remarkable destination right in your own backyard, and it's a great escape, whether it be a family vacation, a staycation for you and your significant other, or otherwise. Check out the Houstonian at Houstonian.com.